This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The roar of our engines, the pump of our heartbeats, the pedal to our metal, the sparks that ignite us, the pistons that push us, the passions that drive us. From the feelings that move us to the places that pull us on the roads that unite us. With nearly 6,000 stores and over 17,000 auto care centers, NAPA has America's largest network of parts and care, here to keep you firing on all cylinders.
On August 25th...
I'm the most brutal, vicious, ruthless champion that ever been.
The most anticipated original series is here. You may know Tyson.
You're the heavyweight champion of the world, young, rich, and black.
But do you know Mike?
The minute you get too big, they gotta cut you down.
Starring Trevante Rhodes.
I am Mike.
And Harvey Keitel.
They'll love you as much as they fear you.
Now I'm really gonna have some fun.
Mike, series premiere August 25th, only on Hulu.
Hi, welcome to another edition of That Mill Podcast. Well, slightly different than the normal way. So, basically, we've had these two Herberts with us now for a while. Kai, when Kai joined us, he was a young lad, and now he's developing into an old man. So, hey ho, we'll get there. But look, we're gonna bring back one of the shows we started with a format a while ago. We call it Who Are Ya? Others call it Listed Line. It's stolen really from Robert Elms on BBC London on the show. He does Listed Line. It's 20 questions thereabouts about Millwall. And basically what we do is we run through the questions with both of these lads. And then what we do is we get to know the panel a little bit better, find out why they're Millwall, and if they're really Millwall, and just from there. So, look, sit back, grab yourself a drink, grab yourself a cup of tea, grab yourself a vape or a cigar or something other what you want to smoke. But we'll be back straight after this. I'll see you in a minute. Welcome back. Part one of 20 questions. Right, Kai, heads or tails?
Go heads.
Okay, you lose. Right, Joe, you go first. It's easy. Question one is easy. It's your name, your Twitter handle, and age and basically whereabouts in London you live.
Okay.
Or whereabouts in the world you live. You can give as much or as little of that as you want.
Yeah. So my Twitter handle is Mr. Zampa 7. I use Joe Zampa as my name on Twitter. I don't like to give out my real surname, but I'll give you a clue. It starts with a Z.
No.
I'm 46 and I grew up in Clapham, South London. So I'm not too far from Millwall. Lived there to about age of 27 and then moved out to Esher, Surrey, after got married and after had our first child. So yeah, that's pretty much me.
Kai, same question.
So yeah, my name's obviously Kai Bennett. Twitter handle is Kai Bennett 32. I'm 18 years old and yeah, I've lived in sort of Bromley all my life.
It's weird when you say I'm 18 because we remember when you first started coming on the show, you were 16, weren't you?
Something like that, yeah.
He's now reached puberty and everything, isn't he?
Yeah. If you do watch this or you haven't, you know, head over to our YouTube channel, scroll back through to the ones right down the bottom and have a look at Kai from the start and have a look at Kai now. And you sort of, we've got an aging Kai as you go through. And if we carry on doing this show for another 10, 15 years or so, you'll see Kai slowly age with stress more and more. So, yeah. Right, on this question then, Kai, you'll go first, and then obviously you, Joan, we'll rotate through. So okay, you'll do question two first, and then, Joe, you'll do question three first, and vice versa. If there's any question you don't really know or you want to come back to it, just pass, and then we go to the next person, and we can always come back to you to give you time to think if you haven't really got an answer. So, Kai, to you, how did you become a Millwall supporter?
So it's really gone through my family, really. It started with my granddad. Granddad's about 75 now. Used to hop the old den at probably about 8-9 years old. He grew up in Peckham, so, you know, quite really close to the den, the old den. And then it's really gone through there. My uncle is a Millwall fan. It's gone all the way through to my dad, who married into the family. And he's loved it ever since. And then I was younger and one day my dad said to me, "Do you want to come to Millwall?" And I was like, "Yeah, love to." I think I was probably about 5 at the time. I remember the game. It was 0-0 against Carlisle. It was a League One game. I remember it was really dull 0-0, apart from Gary Alexander hit the bar. That was my only memory of the game. But yeah, obviously been going ever since. Love it.
Excellent. Same question to you then, Joe.
Yeah, just it's amazing when you hear Kai say he's 5 years old watching Gary Alexander's scoring. Like, it doesn't seem that long ago to me, but it's incredible. That was your first sort of memory, wasn't it? Brilliant.
And you were about 27.
Yeah. I was 12. So what was the question again? Sorry, how did you become
a Millwall fan?
Okay, so weirdly, and I'm not ashamed to admit this, when I was younger,
you say West Ham, we're cutting this short right now.
No. But I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I actually started supporting Liverpool. And it sounds weird, but I think everyone in the 80s liked Liverpool. They were a good side. They had some good players. You know, they were clearly, you know, the kind of the Man City, if you like, of then. And but of course, being Liverpool, I could never go and watch a game, could I? I couldn't have gone to watch them. And one of my mates, one of my best mates, a guy called Mark, he used to go with his uncle to go and watch Millwall play, although he was a Liverpool supporter as well, like myself at the time. But he used to go along to watch a live game, and he went a few times, went quite often, went with his cousin as well. And then he asked me to go with him one week. And the first game I went to, I'm pretty sure it was Hull at home. We won 2-0 back in 1987. It would have been the season we went up. And yeah, my first memory was, I just remember sort of like walking up the steps as you go into the ground. And it was a fairly sort of like it must be a late kickoff or something. I remember the floodlights were there. The pitch was bright, you know, with the floodlights. And my first memory was coming out to this stadium thinking, wow, like unbelievable, the atmosphere, the people. I remember sort of like walking along and seeing like these yellow barriers, safety barriers, stop, you know, fans from moving forward and whatnot. I remember sort of looking at the front thinking, what's these yellow spiky sort of like plastic sort of spikes at the top of the kind of fencing, which we had a fence at the time, as well as the sideboard. So that was my earliest sort of memory, really. It's not all that I can remember.
I mean, question three, obviously you first was, you sort of answered it, but what was your first Millwall memory as such, or your first impression? You sort of answered it to a degree.
Yeah, I guess I did. It was that, really. I mean, I just remember visually thinking, I remember at the time, cause I was quite small, and when the decision went against us, I remember, because it's all standing at that time, I remember like, all the guys, all the men behind it would start swearing and shouting and rushing forward and knocking me forwards. I was thinking, Jesus Christ, like that. And that happened a few times. I remember looking to my mate Mark. I said, Jesus, like, does that happen quite often? And he goes, get used to it, mate. If they score, it'd be a lot worse than that. And I was kind of praying that Millwall wouldn't score. I was like, I wouldn't score. And I just remember just sort of feeling quite vulnerable, like in this big crowd, you know, people just sort of pushing around and move forward and just going back and forward, you know. And I remember kind of hitting these barriers thinking, Jesus, I'm going to like knock myself out here. It was up to my head, you know, the barrier at the time almost. But that's kind of like my early sort of memory. But, you know, very quickly you kind of just grow into it. You love it. You know, they always say you don't choose to support Millwall. Millwall chooses you. And, you know, I think, I for one, could vouch for that. That was a great season, and a season that was obviously very, very iconic in our history because we got promoted to the old First Division at the time.
Yeah. 88, was it? 88, 89 season, wasn't it? Or
87, 88,
yeah. CPL for you then, Joe. CPL, yes. Halfway, seats or Alderton Road end?
CBL. CBL, and weirdly, even in the new ground, I'm not sure if that question's coming up later on, but that's where I used to always go quite a lot, at the Clover Lane, and then behind the goal on the south upper, up until very recently.
Well, Kai, you're not old enough to go into the new den, or the old den, new den for you. Do you like it there, and where do you sit?
I love the new den. I mean, I was never lucky enough to go to the old den. My granddad always tells me stories about it. It looks incredible, sort of, you know, the atmosphere there. But obviously for me, only seeing the new den, I still, you know, love it. I never got to witness that, so I can never compare it. But the new den is I just call it the den because it's the only den I've known. But there's nothing like it, is there, on a Saturday afternoon, you know, especially if it's a full house, massive game. It's just it's a great place to be a part of. It almost feels like you're there with not just your own family, but your Millwall family, if that makes sense. Like everyone's done the same thing, and everyone wants to win the game. You can see the passion and the love for the team and then the club in every, you know, supporters' eyes. But yeah, I love it at the new Den. And sitting, up until recently, I've been sitting in the Colbow Lane end, but obviously, because I've been doing the journalism stuff, I'm in the press box, but I missed
Do you work for the journalism side then, do you? Didn't know that.
I heard you did Man on the Board at some point as well.
Touche. Well done,
Kai. I was, second ever, second only fan on the board. Fucking killed the position off as well.
They stopped us, didn't they? They probably thought, fuck that. Not getting more.
They had enough, they had enough. it was like, oops. No, fair play, Kai. You threw me right off here, Tom. all right, let's get into the questions start to really get interesting. Kai, you're first. Favorite all-time player
for me, I'm gonna have to go for none other than Jimmy Abdou. Early years supporting Millwall, Jimmy was always there. And when he left, when obviously he finished playing for Millwall, it was a bit weird because he'd been there as long as I could remember. So not having Jimmy about was a very strange strange time at Millwall for the first couple of years at least, because you would expected that engine in the midfield to be running around causing a nightmare, being a pest. And you know, even though they didn't have the best technical ability, what he didn't have in that, he made up for in his work rate and his desire and energy. So for me, my favourite all-time player at Millwall supporting them has to be Jimmy Abdu.
Okay. Same question then, young Joseph.
Yes. This is an easy one for me. So I idolise this guy. And, ironically, I actually got opportunity to meet him about 2 years ago in the executive lounge. I've got a photo taken with him. So if you go into, I had it on a pinned tweet and my profile on Twitter, but I think it's been changed to Benicophobia now. But my favourite player was Tony Cascarino. We had a lot of good players that season. I remember we had, obviously, Les Brierley, Terry Hurlock, Jimmy Carter, Ryan was only a youngster coming through. So many players to mention. Teddy Sheringham, of course, was a massive player at the time for us. But there's something about Tony Cascarino. I love the way he sort of played. I love the goals he scored. He was the kind of the main man, if you like, up front. So when I used to play football with my friends, you know, I was trying to emulate him. I used to pretend I was Tony Cascarino. Like we'd be playing football, on the estate and, on the concrete playground and playing headers and volleys. And like my brother would be, Teddy Sheringham. My mate would be Jimmy Carter. And, you know, he'd be crossing the ball and I'd be there like Cascarino headering the ball in, you know, and screaming his name. And I embarrassed myself and told Tony Cascarino this story when I met him. So he just laughed, and I'm sure he's probably heard it, a hundred times.
I had to do Talk Sport a month ago now with, who did I do it with? Laura Wood, I think it was, and and Tony Cascarino. And, Tony Cascarino made a promise that he'll come on here later this year. Yeah. So
remember that. I might go a bit gummy on him and start going a bit silly. Hello, Tony.
Right. You first, Joe. Favourite all-time manager?
There's a few. I mean, I love
only allowed one.
I love Neil Harris. I thought Neil Harris was a great player. I think it was good. He got us obviously as a manager. I really like Mark McGee as well.
What can it mean to a
over and grateful top of the league?
There's so many different words to that song. So
I know. So the manager I picked was Mick McCarthy.
Okay.
I just love that era. I like what he did. I like the players he brought in. I remember the football we played under him. It just seemed like the ball was played on the floor. Like it was a lot of passing. Players like Malcolm Allen, Jenny Morley, Van der Burg. You know, I remember these players coming through. Then, of course, the younger ones coming through as well at the time. But it just seemed to play a nice sort of trait of football that I enjoyed watching. I don't know if he was the manager at the time when we had Mark Kennedy, Ben Thatcher, Andy Roberts, Alex Ray. Would that have been Mick McCarthy as well when the youngsters started coming through? Or had he left by then? I can't remember.
Alex Ray would have been. Yeah, he would have been there, I think.
Might have been. I can't think of anyone else at that time who could have been manager. But
it would have been George Graham, wouldn't it? Or late,
well, that was really 80. Early. Yeah, that was before John Doherty took over. So he would have been like mid-80s, him and Frank McClintock. And then John Doherty took over, and I think about a year or two after we got promoted. But no, with Mick McCarthy, I just loved that sort of time. I just loved the football. It sort of changed a little bit, and you know, we were scoring goals. We looked good on the eye. You know, good football team to watch, and some great sort of players that sort of come through that group.
We know who Kai's going to be. It's going to be Steve Lomas.
Hey. Who's
your manager then?
Actually,
tell us who your manager is, right? Yeah. And then we're going to tell that other story, okay?
Okay. So my manager, obviously, it's difficult because I haven't had that many managers, because obviously we are a club that tends to keep our managers quite a while, but, you know, apart from Holloway and Lomas, maybe one more. It's been Kenny Jackett, Neil Harris, and Gary Rowett the majority of the years.
Yeah.
For me, yeah. Obviously, Neil Harris, I love Neil Harris. I think Kenny Jackett did a great job as well. But for me, the manager for me has to be Neil Harris, just because of what he did as a player. And then to transfer that as a manager as well, I thought, you know, some of the cup runs we went on and some of the displays in League One when we went up, and then to nearly get us up in the playoffs the first season back in the Championship was really good. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Neil Harris.
Okay. Come on in, Kai. Tell us your Steve Lomas story. I'll tell you, the fans will love this. The listeners will love this story because they probably saw it at the time and didn't know that later in life that kid is Kai Bennett.
So I was about, I don't know how old, but I must have been about 9 or 10. I don't know how, it must have been about 9 or 10. Anyway, so the game that Lomas got sacked after was we lost to Watford, I think it was 4-0 at Vicarage Road. And I think it was near Christmas time. It might have even been Boxing Day. It was once something near there. And I took a Steve Lomas out banner with me, like a little paper thing I made at home as a kid. And I took it with me. And anyway, obviously he got sacked probably about, you know, straight after the game, I think it was. Anyway, I'm holding it up at the end of the game. And I go home and Dad goes to me, "Oh, Kai, you've just been on the telly. We can see your banner." So yeah, that's my claim to fame.
So you basically got Steve Lomas a sack.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like, we're getting a picture of him. We're posting on our Twitter feed
tonight. Yeah. Instagram feed. All fans have got Kai to thank for that one, haven't they?
Kai Bennett had there. So, well done, Kai. Right. The worst, Kai, you're first. Worst Millwall player you've ever seen at the Den or ever seen play in a Millwall shirt?
Oh, can be anyone. It has to be Gary Taylor Fletcher.
He's been doing this show way too long, hasn't he? We've influenced him dreadfully.
he was dreadful though, when he came to us. I think didn't Holloway sign him? It was a Holloway sign him.
He's a mate of his, weren't he, or something? Yeah.
Yeah, and he worked with him at Blackpool. And obviously, there's no doubt in Taylor Fletcher scored quite a few goals in his career. But when he came to us, he just looked like he was playing the wrong sport. he was in the wrong school, he should have been playing darts.
Yeah. or bowls or something, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but he just didn't look like he was interested. He looked, I mean, you know, he
was out of shape, weren't he? I mean, he had a real guard on as well, didn't he?
It wasn't a good time for that up front. God,
same question for you then, Joe. Worst ever Millwall player?
That was mine. It's quite an easy one, really, isn't it? You know, I mean, the guy I was on loan with to us, he played 10 games, didn't score a goal. I don't think he even got near the other team's goal area, to be fair, let them have a shot and score. And we did our loan team recently, didn't we? We talked about all those strikers we've had, you know, over the years, and some scored, you know, a few goals, some have scored one, some have scored, you know, quite a lot. To play 10 games and not even get one goal, you know, the guy was overweight, you could see his gut hanging over his shorts. You know, it was embarrassing. I mean, thankfully, you know, even Holloway weren't that stupid to start him. He's often used to come off the bench, didn't he, the last sort of 15, 20 minutes. I think that's all he had in him, about 15, 20 minutes running around the pitch. I say running around the pitch, I say that word loosely. It's kind of just walking around the pitch a little bit.
He had the same style and finesse as I do on a football pitch. So I think he's about the same fucking size as me as well.
I think you lasted longer than he did, though, Mickey. To be fair, at least you've done 35 minutes. You know what I mean?
I'm happy with that. So, yeah. Kai, worst ever player you've seen play at the Den, as in an away player?
Gary Taylor Fletcher.
So that's tough, but I'm going to go for Jermaine Beckford, just because every time we played him, he crumbled. He absolutely crumbled, like under the pressure.
Ben Chilwell.
But there's players that used to come to the Den and they thrive off that, the atmosphere, and they come to the Den, they thrive off, you know, the atmosphere and the banter and stuff. But Jermaine Beckford, he just, as soon as the Millwall fans bantered with him, he just didn't like it. I remember he played for Leeds. He got subbed off at half time, I think it was.
Who was that cunt that played for us and then he he played everywhere else he played, he scores against us.
Graben.
Yeah, Lewis Graben. Fucking hell, mate.
All the time.
It was a nightmare, but
even this season we lost 1-0 at home, didn't we? I'm sure he got the winner, didn't he? Like a 92nd, yeah. 93rd minute.
And he was already going in and he had to tap it in just to make
just
to
make sure. Yeah. Exactly.
So who's your worst ever player then, Joe?
I struggled really, because I'll be honest with you, I mean, you don't really look at the opposition who the worst players are. You kind of identify who their best players are sometimes. You can give credit.
Yeah, but you know who the worst player is you've seen. Stop fucking getting out of it. Fucking give us a name. The worst player you've ever seen at the Den.
I was struggling, but if we're using players that are crumbled, didn't David Bentley play against us for Blackburn once and we gave him a lot of stick? And I think he played quite shit as well. I mean, everything was going Pete Tong for him. He couldn't cross a ball, couldn't hit a pass. His shooting was over the place. Am I dreaming that or did that happen?
I think you're not dreaming it, but yeah. But also, you can understand. I mean, we were there at the charity match the other week, and you raised it on a bit where you said about where you can hear the crowd, and the crowd weren't that, you know, the crowd weren't that big, and you could hear everything they were saying and stuff. But can you imagine what the Den would be like if you're an opposition player and you go to take a throw in? You can understand to a degree why Ben Chigwell fucking shit himself. You know, why he didn't want to take any more throw-ins, because it was horrendous. You know, the level of abuse. I mean, we've all sat there in Coldblow Lane and listened to the shit the keepers get. And you just think, you know, especially on, what is it, on East, I think it's on East side where the dugouts are. There's a couple of guys there who just constantly give it to players. And you just think, fuck taking that all day long. Do you know what I mean? If you're not a proven pro, that must get to you.
Can I just flip one to that question, Mickey. The best player I've seen at Millwall, and it's been a few decent players there, but the one that I thought really stand out to me was Paul Merson. When we lost Portsmouth 5-0, and we had a decent side at the time. McGee was in charge. We had, you know, Ifill playing, Christoph Kinnett, I'm sure, Harris. They're a decent side at the time, and they smashed us 5-0, and Paul Merson just ran the show. He even scored a penalty, I think, for the fifth one at the end. And if I remember, he was one of the few players that got clapped off by the Mill supporters at the end, when he was substituted, I think, at the end.
There's only been a couple of them as well. So,
yeah. And Darren Byfield did, I think, didn't he, when he played for Rotherham. We lost 6-1 against them, and he scored five goals against us. And he went off about the 80th minute, and he got a standing ovation for the Mill supporters. And he ended up playing for us, didn't he, a few years after, which is interesting. Yeah. Shame we couldn't get hold of Merson, but yeah.
Right.
He was good.
Let's move on. Question 10. The most memorable Millwall moment. Any, meeny, miny, mo, we'll go with you, Kai.
I'll go with, for me, that.
Not your favourite. The most memorable to you.
I think the most memorable moment that stands out to me has to be the Everton match a couple of years ago. You know, when Murray Wallace scored last minute. My cousin to the right of me, his arms have gone flying up in the air to celebrate, and he's knocked my little cousin's tooth out. So her tooth's on the floor. She's trying to find it because she's like about the tooth fairy and stuff. So
And I understand why she wanted to find it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Tooth fairy, when you're younger, mate, pays well. So, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, she was about 7 or 8 and she's looking for it. And we're scoring and we've just scored. And my granddad's looking at her going, don't worry about that. Just celebrate, you know, sort of thing. And Murray Wallace, and I remember the commentary. I got home and watched the game all over again. It was one of their memorable nights at the Den. And, yeah, I had an operation the day before as well on one of my ears. And doctor said to me, you shouldn't go to the Den tomorrow. It's not safe for you and stuff. And anyway, moaned all evening to my parents for about 15, going, I want to go to the Den. I really want to go. And anyway, in the end, dad went to me, right, fine, you can go, but on one condition, you wear something over your ear to basically block out a lot of noise. And so, yeah, basically, yeah. And I went there and I'm so pleased I went. Otherwise, it would have been a real regret of mine.
Yeah, but it was great. Yeah, especially when the coach drivers took the wrong fucking turn and come down Ilverton Road. Yeah. So, yeah, what's your most memorable moment following Millwall then, Joe?
Yeah, so there's a few games I was thinking about, but the one that stands out to me is probably the most iconic game was Millwall away to Hull, where we got promoted in 87. And at the time, we needed to win the game. We won the game 1-0. Kevin O'Callaghan had a penalty and took it superbly. And that win meant that mathematically, that's it. We're up. We're promoted into the old First Division before the Premiership was around, of course. So that, for me, is probably the most memorable, iconic sort of games I could ever sort of think of, really.
Okay, question 11 to you first, Joe. Your favourite ever Millwall moment?
Okay, so my favourite Millwall moment is the last home game of the season when we got promoted in 2001. We played Oldham 1-5-0, and we absolutely terrorised them. I think Claridge scored a couple. Harris actually played a pod in all five goals in that game. I think he scored one, set up really for one or two. Claridge got a couple, and Harris was just on fire. We absolutely annihilated them. And it was just an amazing moment to know that, we're going up, but going up as champions. And then, of course, they then walked around, the ground holding the trophy. It was an amazing occasion. Absolutely, for me, it's probably, for me, for a live game to go and watch, it's probably the best game I've seen Millwall play.
Your question then, Kai, favourite ever Millwall moment? Kai, you dickhead, you're on mute.
I was good. my favourite would probably have to be the playoff final a couple of years ago under Harris. Yeah. Morrison's goal. Just remember I did go to the Scunthorpe game when Gary Alexander scored, but obviously we lost 3-2. I was also at the Swindon one where Robbo scored, but that Morrison one, there was just almost a different feeling about it, if you know what I mean. That sort of, in both games too, club almost, Robbo is a legend. You probably could define Morrison as a legend too. But that game, the strike partnership between Gregory and Morrison was so good. And Bradford obviously had missed that chance earlier in the match when Archer saved it. So it really felt like that game that we were going to probably go on and win. And when it went in, that relief around the section of Millwall end, and obviously the amount of fans we brought that day compared to Bradford was unbelievable atmosphere.
You see, that playoff final where Morrison scored was probably one of the best moments as such, like being there and everything else. It was great, but on the same level, it was probably one of the greatest regrets because I said to the club, I've got invited to hospitality with William Hill and Lord Kennedy. So I've taken that position. I've taken a seat there, blah, blah, blah. And then I got told, oh, great, because we don't have that many Royal Box tickets. So if you've got a place, then you take that. And I was like, oh, yeah, we'll be all right. All right, yeah, well, it'll be all right. And then I don't know if you've been to hospitality at the William Hill or the hospitality at Wembley, but it's right at the top. So you've got a great view. You've got a great big balcony, and the food and the drink and everything else is second to none. And I mean, the food is like lumps of fucking steak and fucking lamb and everything you want is there, mate. Food-wise, drink-wise, everything.
It used to be hard to find the exact auto parts you needed, and that meant spending a lot of time at swap meets. It's a different game now when you can order exactly what you need from eBay Motors. They have 122 million parts, so you can always find the right fitment. Spend less time searching and more time building with the eBay Motors app, or visit ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.
At Progressive, we know there's nothing like the feeling of riding your motorcycle with your buddies on the open road. It's a potent cocktail of thrills, laughter, and pure adrenaline. A feeling that would be impossible to recreate on the radio. Until now. Hit it, sound effects guy!
I'm real proud of you, son.
Well, that was terrible. Our apologies for even trying. Quote with Progressive and see if you could save with America's number one motorcycle insurer, Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
And you're up there, great view. So I saw it from the top down as it went in. Fantastic view, fantastic. But my biggest regret is that I weren't lowered down and I weren't in the royal box and I didn't go on the pitch legitimately after that game. And it was one of the greatest things. But yeah, hey ho, it is what it is. So we go Yukai next. Question 12. Funniest ever Millwall moment?
I was just thinking about this one and I can't really think of like a load of them, but I'm going to go for the one that I remember the clearest. I remember it's on Twitter. I see it pop up on Twitter all the time. I think we were beating Birmingham 2-0 about 4 years ago. And Jeb Wallace has got the ball between his legs. And the player's trying to lift him around to try and get the ball off him. And he's got it still. And they just, wherever he basically pulls him round, Jed just will not let go of the ball. And it went on probably about 10, 20 seconds. The referee ended up having to get the ball off his legs and stuff. It was just classic time wasting. And it was, I was remembering the stands just, you know, dying of laughter because I thought it was fantastic. But yeah, that's what I'd have to go for my funniest moment.
Joe?
That was mine as well. That was mine as well. I think there's been a couple that Jed's been involved with.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I think that there was that one about 3 years ago, wasn't it? 3 or 4 years ago when he held onto that ball. And what was funny was where the guy kind of picked him up off the ground, his legs were bent, weren't they? His feet were under his arse, so to speak, as he was kneeling down. And he didn't straighten his legs, so he's still sitting on his ball.
I can visualize it right now where the geezer's it's as if the geezer's picking up his naughty little toddler and the ball's in between Jed's knees and everywhere he moves the ball's just going, Jed's like just all limp weight, isn't he? He's just like and in the end the geezer just puts him down and
brilliant.
Well, I think my funniest ever moment Millwall was when the Cardiff fan fell off the top. All the way through the game, you've been giving it fucking all this and you're going to fucking get it, you slag and all that. And then all of a sudden they scored and everyone surged forward and the poor cunt went straight over the top, landed on the seats at the bottom. It was all right. But when the old Bill got to him first, the old Bill thought he was dead and started to fucking try and give him compressions and the cunt weren't dead.
he was faking death.
I think falling off the top, all he got was a broken finger. But because of the old Bill, I think they broke a couple of his ribs for him.
trying to bring that to life.
Allegedly. So, yeah. Question 13. Go you first, Joe. Best story about following Millwall?
At first, I scratched my head thinking I can't think of anything. But then there was a couple that come to mind. So I'm going to do two, if that's okay. So one was years and years and years ago. We played at Sellers Park against Crystal Palace away. And we had a German forward called Uwe Fuchs. So I don't even remember him. And this game was live on Sky or TV or something. It's been transmitted live. And I had it recorded. My dad's recording it for me while we were there watching the game. And we couldn't get a ticket for the Millwall end. So what do you do as any sort of loyal supporter? You go and sit in the home end, which was the Palace end. So it was me and about three mates of ours. We sat at the home end and we're trying to sort of contain ourselves. I think we went 1-0 down or something like that. And then suddenly there's an opportunity to come up. A cross comes in. Uwe Fuchs scores. And me and my mates just couldn't help ourselves. We just jumped up. And we're like, yeah, we're going mental. There was an old lady behind me with an umbrella, and she was like whacking me. She's going, "You bloody Millwall supporters, you should be in here, you bloody hooligans." And we're already quite young ourselves anyway. We're sort of teenagers, I guess, you know. But what was funny was when I watched back that evening, the game, you actually see the camera angle as a cross comes in, Nui Fuchs scores in the distance where the Palace side is. There's four guys just stand up randomly in the middle of the crowd cheering. And literally, we're just standing there, like in our, you know, in our element, we equalise, you know. So that's one of them. And very, very quickly, the second one is I used to go to a lot of away games with my brother-in-law, who's also a Millwall supporter. And Alex is obviously, you know, a big guy. He goes bodybuilding, and he's got a bit of a presence about him. You know, he's calmed down a lot now, but he used to get involved quite a bit with the kind of the fun side of going away, you know, next to these events, yeah. So we go to Cardiff away, and of course, I'm very, very cautious. I'm saying that Alex, keep your voice down, and he's very loud when he talks. You know, he's got a real sort of southern, South London accent, very, very kind of sort of thing. And he goes, yeah, bruv, no worries. And I remember we sort of got there to grab it early. We parked up and we found a Costa Coffee, which ran a corner from the actual grounds. So I said to him, look, just be quiet, you know, keep it down. And he goes, yeah. So he walks inside and he goes in. I'm on the phone to my missus at the time. And he goes into the counter and I'm standing by the doors and walking in. There's all these Welsh fans there all sort of chatting away. Next minute, he shouts out, he goes, bruv, what do you want? And I was like, oh, my God. And his accent just sort of killed it. And it was like a scene out of a Western. Like, literally, everyone just stopped talking. Like, everyone just stared and looked at us. And I was like, for fuck's sake, you know. But luckily, it was all good. You know, I think slowly people started talking again and we just sort of blended in. We took the coffees for takeout. We didn't stay in. I just remember him, the way he just sort of came out. He just couldn't give a shit. You know, it's very, very brash. What do you want? Do you want a latte? What do you want? He's going to me. I was thinking, oh my God. But yeah, that's probably the only two that sort of stick out at the moment.
Car, yours?
So it's actually last season, QPR away. So we find out the fixtures and we booked a holiday to go abroad with my family. And I'm thinking, looked at the fixtures, gone, hang on a second, we're going to be back a day later here than QPR. I'm thinking, I can't miss the first game of the season back with fans. So I talked to my mum and dad. My dad went, well, we're only going down to like Devon area. We weren't going abroad or anything. We're just going to Devon. So it wasn't the furthest holiday. But we obviously booked it for 7 nights. And my family, I think, when we got to drive a couple of people up there and stuff, my dad's going, oh my God, we're going to miss the first game of the season. My granddad's fretting and stuff. All the girls in the family, they don't care. They're like, well, just miss your first game. It doesn't matter, sort of thing. And we're like, no, that we can't, that can't be on. So we discussed it with the family. There's a few choice words said from both sides, you know, trying to argue our cases and sort of stuff. And anyway, in the end, we won, which they were not happy about. We left a day early and we hit traffic on the motorway and we ended up getting back about 4 o'clock in the morning. I think we had to leave for QPR about 11-ish. We get out with about 6 hours sleep, go to the football, obviously draw 1-1. We then get back and family are on the group chat going, oh, you didn't even win. It wasn't even worth it and stuff. My granddad put a video of it and goes, it was definitely worth it. So, yeah, that was probably mine. It's just that way of family, isn't it? Like, they don't get it and we're like, we can't miss it. And, yeah, it's just that you get that sort of stuff because, obviously, the girls don't care about my mum, my auntie, my nan. They don't really care. They want us to win, but only because they want us to be in good moods when we come home.
Exactly, be happy, yeah.
But, yeah, that's probably my favourite.
Cool. Question 14, favourite current player, Kai?
Oh, can I go for players who are out of contract, but not out of contract yet?
Yeah, you're going to go Jed Wallace.
Well, I was going to go him, but now I'm thinking about it. I'll probably go with Bart.
Okay.
Danny's a very close second, but I'll probably go with Bart.
Okay. Joe?
I went with Jed Wallace. I think, you know, for what he's done for us, with his goal contributions and assists, he's good to watch. You know, and so he's probably my favourite Millwall player. Obviously, whether he's going to be there or not next season, who knows? Nothing's been said yet. A shout out to Tom Bradshaw. I like Tom Bradshaw. I think he's a nice guy, good goal scorer. Danny McNamara, I think he's...
No, listen, I think you're both getting confused. It says favourite
one
current player. One. Favourite. Not favourite fucking team. Do you know what I mean? Fucking hell. Right.
We go Jed Wallace then.
Stop. There we go. Bart Jed Wallace. There we go. Right. Okay. Question 15. Get trickier now. Best away day following Millwall. Joe.
I've chosen a weird one. I've chosen Cambridge away. This is Neil back Harris in 2001 when
Paul,
I forgot.
Eiffel's hat-trick, yeah.
I mean, it was a real shit ground. You know, it was an evening kickoff. It was bit gloomy. I think we went 1-0 down or 2-1 down at one point. But Eiffel's hat-trick just sort of turned the game. And I said, we won 5-1, I think it was. Just being there to watch, you know, Paul Eiffel score that hat-trick. What a hat-trick it was as well. So to go all that way to Cambridge to get the 3 points, to score those goals, you know, and leave there with your head held high thinking, yes, we are the dog's danglies. You know, we just smashed you 5-1 and our player scored a hat-trick against you as well. And what a hat-trick it was. So that probably is my favourite away game.
Kai?
My favourite away game was my first one following Millwall. My family sort of decided it was, you know, about, you know, I could go to an away game, and what an away game it was. It was Charlton versus Millwall, and it was Lowry. You know when Lowry scored that stunner?
Oh, right. Was that the 25-yard or something, wasn't it? He kind of smashed it.
Miles out, and he's absolutely pumped it. And I remember that first away game, and yeah, it was that was my favourite, because obviously it's my first. He scored that. We beat Charlton again, and it was just, yeah, it was a special day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Neither of us mentioned, well, I guess you probably wouldn't mention it, but I was going to mention it. Millwall away to, we're at Old Trafford against Sunderland in the semi final of the FA Cup when Tim Cleary was scored. So I was there.
It's a 4-3 game.
I was there at that game, and we won 1-0 against Sunderland. It was an amazing, amazing day. You know, great, great game.
Trouble is that the big games like that do, but a lot of people on this, when we've done this before with people, they always go for the, you know, like some of the games you wouldn't necessarily think, say, still to their mind, you know.
Exactly.
But yeah. Right, question 16. Kai, most disliked opponent ever?
Was it just an individual player?
No, team.
Oh, team. I'll have to go for West Ham. I mean, okay. Obvious one. I mean, Palace are a close second because we get a lot of Palace from where.
Oh,
where
don't, okay, stop.
Okay. Do you want third? As well?
No. You're jumping fucking ahead. Fuck's sake, Joe. One answer. One answer, and one answer only. Most disliked opponent.
For me, West Ham.
Okay, thank you very much. Right, Joe. Top three rivals.
I'll go West Ham first. I'll say Leeds United 2, second place, which is weird because they're so fucking far away, aren't they, up in West Yorkshire. And then Crystal Palace as my third. For obvious reasons.
Okay, Kai?
I'd go same teams, but West Ham, Crystal Palace, Leeds. Reason Palace is just before Leeds, because there's quite a lot of friends supporting Palace, and I'm sick and tired of them keep going about Millwall. So I have to go Palace second, but obviously West Ham always top.
West Ham, Leeds, Spurs.
Is that yours?
West Ham, Leeds, Spurs. Yeah,
Spurs. Why Spurs?
Because they're just North London slags. but no, I wouldn't. Also, I remember when we played them in a pre-season, we played them in a friendly. I can't think what it was. It was.
Was it Rhino?
No, we played them at Rhino. We played them in the FA Cup, but no, I can't think what it was now. Was it? I think it was a youth. I think it was a pre-season friendly or a.
It was a pre-season friendly. We got smashed, didn't we?
And they smashed up the fucking Gorga pub, and when we went there, it was fucking horrendous. The old Bill walked us in because I was a fan on the board at the time there. and so many fans got fucking directed by the old Bill the wrong way. And that was probably one of the most hostile fucking places we went to, where we had Spurs fans on three sides of the road. And as you were led in, they were like fucking everywhere. And they were, it was brilliant, but it was like fucking hell, do you know what I mean? So it was a bit lively. But no, look, Spurs are in my top three, so yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Kai, if you could change anything, and that could be a score, it could be something within the current setup, the running of the club shop, the running of the team bus, fucking anything you want, what would you change and why?
It's going to sound pretty low-key, probably compared to some things you could change, but I'm going to go for, I would have changed the Millwall Fulham game back in 2017-18 when Harris was in charge. We lost 3-0, and I would have changed that result, because that result probably would have made us, we would have made the playoffs that year under Harris. That would have been really special.
And obviously, we played them away on a Saturday, wasn't it?
No, we were home, weren't we, on a Friday night on Sky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were like 17 unbeaten. They were like 22 unbeaten. And we lost 3-0. Sessegnon Young scored. But I think Morrison had a goal disallowed in the first half that should have counted. Okay. And yeah, if I could change anything, that would be the one, because I think we missed out by 2 points, and those 3 points would have got us in there.
Okay. Joe?
Apart from having a rich Arab owner that could pump millions and millions and millions of pounds into our team and buy us our ticket to the Premiership, I would say the most realistic thing I would change is probably the kiosks at Millwall. It does me head in a little bit. Food's never really that great. I mean, apart from, you know, pies and chips and whatnot you could buy there, the beer is still not great. It takes ages for them to pour it.
Yeah.
And just the speed. I hate the queues. I mean, Jesus Christ. You know, can you imagine we had like a 30,000 attendance, you know, in that kind of ground, in a big ground. It's like, and you know, they struggle when we got like 10,000 fans there.
I've been moaning about it for forever and a day, mate. I think for the last probably 6-7 years, I've been vocal.
So when you're a fan of the board, never changed. Did you bring it up?
Yeah.
Did you bring it up when you found the board, Mickey?
Lots and lots and lots of times, text messages. They're doing, the biggest problem they've got is the catering is third party. It's not Millwall. So it's franchised out by a big catering firm. And the problem is that it's getting the staff. So, and also what you've got to do is you've got to take into consideration as well is that there's only 23 games a season played there. So the beer and all that lot, we've had trials, like when we had Moretti there, that was a trial. They don't have cellars, so you know they don't have what normal pubs have with the cellars with the lines and everything else. So it's smaller kegs and stuff. But I've got no idea why they can't do it. But again, it's money, isn't it? And also, I don't know if they really want to, you know, sell every Millwall fan a pint within fucking 10 minutes. Do you know what I mean? I remember when I used to go, my missus years ago, we used to go years ago, back what, early 2000, and you used to be able to get 2 beers at half time. We used to go there and drink 2 beers at half time, you know, knock them, you know, get 2 beers and all that and knock them back and all that and go. But now trying to get 2 beers and drink them before the game finishes is fucking near on impossible. Do you know what I mean?
I'm saying, it gets to a point now. I mean, you would love to go down at half time and have a quick pint and go back up, watch the second half. But it gets to a point where if you leave at the half time whistle, go down, you'd be waiting forever in the queue to get a beer. And by the time you get your beer, you've got to neck it because second half's kicked off. So it kind of puts me off. And the alternative is you leave early.
You might miss
a goal. Exactly. Yeah. If you miss even 5 minutes, that could be a lot. This is a real shame, isn't it, really? But
that's it. So, right, Joe.
That'll be it.
All-time favourite shirt.
I would say the 87, 88 season got promoted. So it was the old Lewisham, and the shirt manufacturer was Spall, S-P-A-L-L at the time.
Loved
that shirt. Loved it. I really wish I did get the shirt at the time. I didn't get it.
I tried to get it back out, so yeah.
Yeah, I would love to get it. And I'm pretty sure I did actually order it a few years ago off some kind of website. It never did come. Bit of a scam. I think I mentioned to you before, didn't I, about that?
Well, we call it a scam on Twitter, well, an alleged scam, where he reckoned he was going to get it and he wouldn't. And I know he wouldn't, because when I was speaking to Spall years back, and when AMS won the battle, when we overturned the CPO, I wanted to get that shirt out. Mm. And with the current conditions what Millwall had with their kit sponsor, they weren't allowed to sell any other shirt. Right. So they it could come out, but it couldn't come out with Millwall's name on it. And the trouble was that it couldn't be sold really with Millwall's say-so. And because of different trademarks on it, it couldn't come out, because there's a company up north when Spall went bust, they basically brought all the material designs, all the original prints, blueprints, everything. So they could make it. But there's a trademark issue. And allegedly, I'm led to believe a couple of years ago that Millwall is talking to him about bringing him out. When it comes out, I've got no idea. If it comes out, I've got no idea. But I know that I wanted it out as a charity shirt, and I couldn't bring it out. Because we were even thinking about putting the AMS logo where the Millwall badge was and having Lewisham on it and everything else. But, yeah, I think Lewisham, you have to get permission for Lewisham because it's their logo. You have to get permission from the club. You have to get permission from this, that, and everything else. But it was there. I had numerous amounts of Raj or Sarge or whatever his name is from Spall, phone calls and everything else to get it all done, because they've got all the colouring. We needed to find an original shirt to match the colour up exactly. But we had everything there. It was ready to go, but, yeah, weren't allowed to do it. Your favourite shirt then, Kai?
My favourite one was the one off, you know, the army shirt.
There's a cheeky cunt on eBay at the moment selling one of them signed for £480.
Jeez, doesn't surprise me.
I was lucky enough to get one of them, and they're lovely.
Well done.
Yeah, I was about probably 12, 13. So that was
If I remember right, it wasn't many of those made, were there? Because they didn't think it would sell very well, did they?
No, they ordered 1,500 of them.
Yeah,
they got 1,500 of them, and they didn't think they'd sell that well. And I never got one. And to be fair, the time as fan on the board and done AMS stuff, I've never even got a match worn shirt either. So I've not got one of them either. So yeah,
that's a shame.
Oh well, claim to fame there, but yeah, the best piece of Mill memorabilia you own, Kai.
Probably the Wembley photo with Paul Robinson. I think it's Neil Harris holding the trophy up. I don't know how many of them were made, but I remember Dad got one probably just after probably about 2-3 months after the match, and it sits just in our hallway. So so it will come in the house, and they could quite quickly see who we support.
I held that cup.
Did you?
the Morrison goal when Morrison scored that champion final one there. I held I went into the den on them. Basically, on the Saturday night, they all went out. And they went out to a hotel in London, not far from the den. And my phone died. And where was we? Where was it? It was, when did Morrison score? 2017?
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it? 2017. Yeah. And I lived in Dartford. I moved to Dartford. So I think we'd moved to Dartford by then. Yeah, I had. And I got back here, plugged my phone in because my phone had died, and it was like, you know, on my way home, I phoned my missus, said, right, my phone's dying, I'm on my way back. All right, no worries. So I come fucking all the way up Bermondsey, London Bridge, out to here. And I get indoors and I plug my phone in. And I got a text message. We're here if you want to come and join us. And I'm like,
oh sake.
Shit. Okay. Anyway, nothing. So I went in the den on the Monday, and I was like, right, you know, morning, fucking skived or whatever, fucking in there. I want a picture of the cup. All right, no worries. It's not here. What do you mean it's not here? It's not here. Okay, where is it then? Tony Craig's got it. He's on his way in, but Tony Craig's got it. Tony Craig took the cup home on Saturday and slept with it. Tony Craig slept with it.
And then brought it in on the Monday after his kids and everyone else had slept with it. And, yeah, brought it in. And then, yeah, I got a picture of that. And also, you know, the great big posters, what were like around the den, fucking great big, huge, like same size as you, Kai, big posters with, I can't think who's on there. I think it's Fred and someone else with the cup or whatever. But I've got one of them as well. But no, I've got a couple of balls. I've got a ball from the Carling Cup, Northampton. Northampton Town, that when we played them in the Carling Cup, I've got a Carling Cup ball. I've got 1970s Mimic shirt, training shirt, or the youth shirt. I've got a couple of signed shirts. I've got Bradshaw shirt. Yeah, I've got some other bits and pieces like that and stuff. So, yeah, there's a few more bits what I want and stuff. But, yeah, I'd have loved the talking about it because it's only a week ago since, you know, the five-year anniversary of the London Bridge attack. But the FA and the EFL done special commemorative medals because we won, obviously, the playoff thing, didn't we? We come from Division One back to the Championship. And to commemorate our four fans what were involved in that, they all got a genuine championship medal and a signed shirt in a box, a match, you know, like a match worn shirt in the box and everything else. That was quite cool. I wish I had one of those. That was quite cool. So yeah. What's your bit of memorabilia then, Kai?
Joe, you know the Robbo and Harris picture.
Oh yeah, you did. Yeah. So then, that's it. 20 questions. Not that bad, was it?
Can I do my one?
Oh, have you not done yours yet?
you done Kai twice and you sent me out.
I knew I forgot one of you. I just didn't know which one. Go on, then.
You just forgot the wrong one. I've got a signed football from 2001. The season got promoted with Tim Cahill, Harris, Paul Ifill, that era, which was lovely. I've got some signed football shirts as well, where I've done sort of player sponsorships over the last sort of few years. So one of my earliest ones I've got, which I'm not particularly proud of, it's kind of like stuck up in the lofts, to be honest with you, is do you remember Andy Keogh?
Yeah.
He's played for us, the Irish striker. So I've got a signed shirt by him. I've got a Steve Morrison one.
Yeah.
Which is a nice one that he signed. And although you can't really see it at the moment, can you? But in that corner there, can you see it?
Can you see number that? 17.
Yeah, that's George Saville.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I've got my George Saville.
Turn the camera around the other way again.
This way?
Turn the camera back around. Is it just the daylight, or does that chair look West Ham colours to you?
You're colourblind, Nicky.
Oh, hello.
It does, doesn't it, Kai?
No, it does not. A little bit, yeah.
That's clear and blue, isn't it?
Black. Which chair? The bench?
The bench, yeah.
That's blue and black.
Is it? There's red on there, isn't there? Looks flower and blue to me.
That's just a handle.
Oh, okay.
You wind me up, haven't you?
Mate, do you remember, Kai? Do you remember when we done Friday Night Live? And I wore a burgundy hoodie. And
you look like West Ham.
You were one of the cunts who were giving it to me. Before you come on the show, you were one of the fuckers who were giving it to me.
I think I was, actually.
I've never worn that shirt. I've never worn that again.
Was it a hoodie?
Never. I gave it to my daughter and she loves it. Yeah, it was a hoodie. Yeah, she loves it. Yeah, I've never worn it since, mate. She wears it now, so yeah.
Sorry about that. I'm sure she loves
it. So that's it. So look, we're finished the questions there. We'll do a brief one on two friendlies have been announced so far. Obviously, no friendlies in Cork. Two friendlies have been announced so far. Ipswich and Dartford, the closest fucking away day for me. It's there.
Is it?
Literally, if I walk out my house and walk up the road next to me, it's basically at the end of that road. Cross over the road.
Wow.
And I'm in Dartford.
Football. Perfect. Can we do the, if it's raining, can we come and do the press match post-match press conference in your house then, yeah?
Yeah, mate, no worries at all, mate. Yeah. Come and sit right. I'm outside now, mate. Yeah, no worries at all, mate.
Maybe do a barbecue for us, well, Mickey, and a few beers, if you don't mind.
Yeah, we could turn it into that. We could do a show afterwards if you want.
Yeah? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. We've got this on record, didn't we, Kai? So you can't get out of it now, can he?
It's documented. I'll go tell the missus in a minute, by the way. The boys are coming round after the
We're there.
Look, this is it. This is who are you? Listed line. Whichever it is. It's just a way we thought we'd just do we'd do this so you get to know the boys here. We got another one planned with Chris and Omar. Coming up soon. Omar would have been involved and Chris would have been involved in this, but they're busy at the moment. Right about now, I think Omar is on a plane on the way back from Germany. He was at England, Germany last night, so he's on his way back. Thanks very much for joining us. Just a bit of fun, really, giving you something to listen to on your dog walk, etc., etc. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. If you want to do this, just drop us a line, get in touch, a DM. You know, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever you want to do, we'll get you on and we can do it. It's a standard 20 questions, fairly easy to answer. You've listened to them all today. And gives you an insight into Kai Bennett and Mr. Zamba. Hope you've enjoyed it. Do what we always ask you to do. Please do like if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're listening to us as a podcast, then please do subscribe, like, and follow us across social media. That Millwall Pod, nice and easy. Same address across all social media. And that's it from us, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks for listening, and up the wall.
Spoke, but I saw you ordered the same hoagie as me at lunch. What are the chances? Anywho, I heard you just got a boat. We should totally grab some hoagies and take it out for a spin.
When you get a boat, you also get new friends. Make sure Progressive's one of them and get coverage today for as little as $100 a year.
Do I want to feel the wind in my hair? Guilty as charged. Oh, seriously, let's ride on your boat.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.